The paintings of Frederick McCubbin have become iconic images of early Australia, silvery landscapes from the late 19th and early 20th century. Frederick McCubbin had many admirers and followers. He taught at the School of Design at the National Gallery, while his pupils Arthur Stretton and Charles Conder are well-known names today. It's another of his students who's been imagined in a debut novel by Crystal Thornell. Clarice Beckett was born in Melbourne in 1887 and produced a small number of paintings, mostly atmospheric land and streetscapes of mist and fog. In her novel Night Street, Crystal Thornell says that she attempted to look at Beckett as she might have looked at a landscape, squinting to soften edges and reach beyond detail in the search for patterns of light and shade. For our Facts in Fiction series, the book show Sarah Lestrange spoke to Crystal Thornell about Clarice Beckett, the person and her art.
Well, she considered her work realistic. She thought she was creating an accurate illusion of reality when she painted a scene. But there's a wonderful minimal flavour to what she did. It's extremely simple. There's very little detail. There's just this wonderful feeling of atmosphere and of psychological space. So her paintings are extremely haunting because they're suggestive, they're evocative, and there's space for you to imagine into them.
Can you describe a particular painting that you have in your head of hers?
One that comes to mind now, because it's quite unusual, is, and it's actually, there's a fictionalisation of the painting in the book, is of a man of a certain age who's standing at the end of a shadowy pathway close to the sea. And it's a fascinating painting because you see very little of the man in a way. He's there, but he's a very dark, mysterious presence. And you feel that presence without being able to discern much of his face. You know, there's very little precision in a way, and yet he's this compelling, captivating figure.
She very much focused on mist and fog.
Mm-hmm.
The paintings are almost not there.
Mm-hmm. There's something almost insubstantial about them.
But like a dream that you could step into as well. In your book, Night Street, you say, tones came first, apt and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
The word tone for describing the stages of intensity and shade, gradations in luminosity being indeed every bit as subtle and sliding as the moods of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you find this in her work?
Yes, very much so. It's all about light and shade and about these very subtle shifts or slides. And I think it's that subtlety that makes them so attractive and so enigmatic, because you do want to step into them as if into a dream, as you said. There is that quality of being drawn in, not being quite sure where you're going, but going towards something.
And even though she studied under Max Meldrum, and she also studied with Frederick McCubbin, very well-known Australian painter, her style was still distinctively her own, wasn't it?
Very much so. I think she took the teachings of Meldrum and incorporated them into her own style. But her style is quite unique and extremely expressive, I think, and individual, yes. You can see she uses the tonal techniques that he taught, but she has done something quite special and quite her own with them. I think her paintings stand out among other tonal paintings, at least to me they do, because they're so there is this sense of psychological energy and atmosphere in them. They're very emotional in an unusual, mysterious way.
When you're looking at her paintings, what are you imagining about her? Because this is all about the fictionalisation of a real character.
Mm-hmm.
What do you read from her paintings about her?
I think she was an extremely intense person. I think her inner life was very, very vivid and rich. I think she was extraordinarily private. For me, solitude is really a key piece of this. I think she was enormously internal, and didn't reveal much of herself to others. I have the sense of there being a lot, both with Beckett and with the character, the fiction, my imagining of Beckett, a lot beneath the surface. So great intensity beneath this sort of quite quiet, peaceful, tranquil facade, because the paintings can seem like that too. They're quite sort of peaceful and still, and yet you feel something there.
She was a solitary person by nature, and she didn't get married, did she?
No, she didn't. She had several proposals which she turned down, and she did have some intimate relationships, but she chose not to marry, and I think that's interesting, and it must have informed and shaped her art. While that can seem a little bit tragic, sometimes people respond to Beckett as a very tragic figure, you know, the dutiful daughter, the housekeeper, the woman alone, the unmarried woman. That must have given her space also for her art. I think she really did live for her art.
Well, could you read a section from your book, Night Street? And this is a section where she's reflecting on her suitors and why they're not good enough, really.
The day Miss McFarlane was framed by the front windows, so private and contained, searching then satisfied. Could it have been then that Clarice realised there were roads you might choose over marriage, roads involving art? Before she got to Meldrum's classroom, she had received several proposals or near proposals. She had come out at 18, her mother cooing over the official photograph, for which she had scrubbed up so well, the implication being that she could be attractive more often, if only she would try. Louise commented that she was diaphanous in it and laughed. Louise thought Clarice considered herself above everyone else, ridiculously ethereal or something of the sort. The first offer came the week after the photograph was taken from an acquaintance of the family, Jim. When they used to vacation at Beaumaris, not imagining they would one day live there, Jim, his younger sister Nellie, Louise and Clarice all played together on Sandringham Beach, as children do, by turns improvising and regimented. Jim and Nellie had been judged good playmates because their father was an engineer and their mother a pious person, apparently, who kept a flawless house in Brighton. Jim was kindly and not unimaginative, with a good instinct for the arrangement of interesting driftwood or shells, and a pleasant, light manner of teasing you out of a funk if you were sad. But as can happen, he had flattened out in the process of growing older and trying to make himself into a man, and by the time he started coming to visit them at Casterton, he had a hardened posture and the makings of a cocksure swagger he was developing, a shame. There was no perspective to him anymore, nothing to look back into, no vista. Finding him rather insipid when the proposal came, she turned him down. Mum was horrified, he was going to be an engineer, following in the proud paternal footsteps, with a bright future, etc., and Father thought him an upright citizen, high praise.
Crystal Thornell reading from her debut novel, Night Street. So there we have Jim described as having no perspective, no vista. This is you describing him, you using the language of art to, I guess, get inside the world of Clarice Beckett. Is that what you were trying to do?
Yes, very much so. That it interested me to try and see the world through the eyes of a landscape painter and to try and get into that psychology.
And so were you, in a way, mirroring her style of painting in your writing?
Yes, that was the intention. I was certainly trying to do that. I wanted the fiction to echo the art, to be to give a sense of psychological space in the way that her painting does. And I didn't want, perhaps in part for this reason, I didn't want to write a straight biographical novel. I didn't want to write something either that was particularly dense with historical detail. I wanted there to be a minimal feeling to it. I wanted there to be a sense of empty space that the reader could imagine into, as the viewer imagines into one of her paintings.
Well, it also made me reflect on the similarities between the solitary painter who's painting a landscape within that landscape and the solitary writer. Did you reflect on that?
I did indeed. I think writers and visual artists have an enormous amount in common. I was at a residency a couple of years ago at which there were just a couple of writers and a lot of painters, and I had the sense that we really saw things quite similarly, that clearly writers and visual artists are observers, so they have that in common, this quality of watching the world and perhaps an internal way of being tends to go with that. But certainly in my own creative work, I can be quite solitary. So there was a mirroring going on, definitely, between myself and the protagonist.
You did do a lot of reading around Clarice Beckett's life, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. How useful was that for you in constructing her world?
I think both useful and not useful. I did do a lot of reading about Beckett and spoke with Rosalind Tollingrake, who's done a lot of wonderful research about Clarice Beckett. She's writing a biography at the moment. But I had the conviction that it was also important to step aside from the research in a way in order to write the fiction. I really wanted the fiction to be a creative response to the details of Beckett's biographical details. So both things were important, both having a sense of Beckett, but also allowing the character to be a character.
Period in Australian art history, now we look back on it as a great period with Tom Roberts and Frederick McCubbin. These are very recognisable paintings. Mm. Is she sort of forgotten in that mix?
Yes, in that mix I would say so. For a long time she'd really slipped through the cracks. There was, I think, very few people had an idea of who she was and would have recognised her paintings or her style at all. But thanks to some recent initiatives, her fame has been on the rise and people are coming to appreciate her work more and more. But I guess that'll be a slow process. And perhaps one of the reasons why paintings by Beckett weren't as focused on and as remembered is that they are so simple. They are such intimate views. You know, they're not these big, heroic, pastoral landscapes in blue and gold. They're these little, modest, apparently unassuming visions of the city of Melbourne, of suburbia. They're very much of Melbourne, but they also have a sort of a universal quality.
That the fact that she isn't as well known, does that mean that you have a broader canvas to paint on yourself as well?
I think so. Maybe that gave me more room to imagine, and I felt freer to imagine. Although there's always that you always have an unusual relationship with an historical figure that you're fictionalising, I think, and perhaps a certain reluctance, particularly about representing the private life, you know, the details of the intimate life of an historical figure. For this reason, too, I really wanted to create a fictional character so that I wasn't trespassing or projecting onto the private space of Beckett too much, but constructing an imagined private space.
What is your interest in that era of Australian art? How did you come to her work?
It was pure chance in a way. I was in Adelaide for the WOMAD Music Festival and on a sweltering hot day wandered into the art gallery of South Australia and was just browsing through the works in their Australian permanent collection, and I stumbled upon this small painting of a misty city street and I was just completely transfixed. I was so engaged by it, and yet it was very hard to put my finger on why. And that's sort of how it started. And then I became very curious about learning about Beckett. But it is a fascinating time in art history, and I think one of the things that's particularly interesting about Beckett's work is that we're given this new modern city. You know, we have telegraph poles and motor cars and lots of things that weren't at the time considered particularly aesthetically pleasing. They weren't conventionally beautiful. And yet she's given them this wonderful, haunting, lyrical quality.
Did you feel cool after going to the South Australia Art Gallery?
Yes, I did indeed. It's a wonderful gallery.
Crystal Thornell with the book show Sarah Lestrange. Night Street is published by Allen and Unwin and was one of the co-winners of the Vogel Award for Unpublished Manuscripts.